Please be seated and let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for everything you have done for us in Jesus Christ. And Lord, we ask that you would help us to live like Jesus wants us to live in this evil world as we patiently wait his return. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning we finish up our January sermon series on the first half of 1 Peter, and we'll return to the letter in the second half of the year. But today, Peter concludes this section of the letter by answering a very practical question. How are you to respond to evil and suffering in your day-to-day life? As we've been going through the letter, the Apostle Peter, he's been reminding us of some of the great things that Jesus has done for us, and in particular of the great living hope that we Christians have in Jesus Christ. And he's been reminding us that even suffering and trials in this world, they act to refine our faith in that living hope. And we've been given a new identity as God's people, and we're even being built as living stones into a new living temple for God to live in eternally. But then there's everyday life. And when you see evil in the world, when you see it happen in the next week, maybe even tomorrow, and when you see it on the news, and when you see it on the streets, and when people are evil towards you or to your friends or to your family, how do you respond? You know, what do you do about it? If you like, how do you repay it? In this morning's passage, Peter gives us one clear direction to follow. You Christians are to repay evil with blessing. If I could have my first slide, please, Ray. You're to repay evil with blessing. Now, if we compare Peter's suggested response to evil with the world's usual responses to evil, well, Peter sounds very holy and pious, doesn't he? And he's clearly a nice guy, but maybe Peter also sounds a touch naive. Peter, of course, he's not talking about the state or, you know, the government. He's not talking about them either in terms of the police or the courts or even the military. You know, he's not saying that they should repay evil with blessing. Peter's talking about the guys he's writing to, which are small, persecuted Christian communities around the Roman Empire who are facing hostility from the world around them. And he says to these guys that they should repay evil with blessing. But I think that makes Peter's advice maybe even sound a bit stranger, because, you know, many might even laugh at this. I mean, what would you do if you were in the shoes of Peter's audience? You know, you're part of a small community. It's a persecuted community, and you know you're suffering evil and hostility. You know, what do you do about it? The world would say that you should repay evil in kind and strike back, or at least aggressively defend against it. You know, within the confines of the law, of course. But you know, you should repay evil with measured, lawful retaliation. You know, to protect the community and to signal to the world that, you know, that we can take care of our own. But blessing. Well, this morning, I want to say that I agree with Peter, and I want to show you three reasons why I think you should too. Three reasons why we must repay evil with blessing. And first of all, if we could have the next slide. Firstly, we should repay evil with blessing, because this is how God wants his people to live. Now, if that's true, if despite the danger and the difficulty of doing so, if God really wants his people to repay evil with blessing, then we should see some evidence of that in God consistently saying so, you know, in his word and in his interactions with his people throughout history. And we do. We see God saying so in the Old Testament. And Peter, in our passage this morning, in verse 10, he shows us just one of the examples. He's quoting King David in Psalm 34, and Psalm 34 says, as Peter quotes, "Whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech." He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. So that's the Old Testament. And if that's true, and if God's consistently saying this to his people, we should also see it. We should also see God incarnate, God in the flesh, saying so. And we do. That, of course, is Jesus. And some of Jesus's most memorable and powerful words are about repaying evil with blessing. You know, remember this. He said, "I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Jesus said also, "Love your enemies and do good to them." And of course, if it's true, if this is what God really wants, we should see the same message coming through the rest of the New Testament. And we do. And so 1 Peter is part of the New Testament, and the Apostle Peter says, continuing in the same theme, in verses 8 and 9 in our passage this morning, he says, "Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another, be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing." This is the way that God has always wanted his people to live. He's always called us to repay evil with blessing. God wants you to repay evil and insult and suffering with blessing. Remember that with this letter that we're looking at, 1 Peter, Peter's preparing the Christians that he's writing to and strengthening them and encouraging them to stand firm in the faith and to keep living like the people of God that they are, despite the evil and suffering of the world and just the general, you know, sickness and, you know, bad stuff and stress and toil and the rest of it. And also, you know, despite the active persecution they're facing for being Christians. And indeed, Peter is also preparing us to live in the same way. So what does it actually look like to repay evil with blessing? Well, to bless somebody, it's fairly simple. You pray to God and you ask God in your prayer to bestow his favor on the person that you're blessing, you know, and to help them and to do good for them and to have his favor on them. And then you go and live in accordance with that prayer, in accordance with that blessing. And in this world, you'll have many opportunities to repay evil with blessing. You can do that in all sorts of situations, you know, ranging from the mostly trivial, you know, through to the utterly profound. You can bless the person that cuts you off in the car, and, you know, instead of yelling or cursing or, you know, cutting them off yourself, you know, you can bless them by praying for them, pray to God and ask God to keep them safe on the roads, and then, you know, be extra careful to drive safely yourself. Or you can bless people who are unjust or mean or cruel in their speech or their actions towards you, or, you know, people who hurt you, or maybe people who mock your Christian faith. And you can do that by, you know, instead of retaliating and fighting fire with fire, you can pray for them. You can ask God to forgive them. You can forgive them yourself before God. And you can ask God, you know, to bring them peace and to help them to see and understand, you know, what they're doing and the effects of their actions. And then you can try and remain patient and constructive in your interactions with them. You can bless those who commit serious crimes against you or against others in the community. Now, that doesn't mean being a punching bag or being a doormat or putting up with violence or with bullying or anything that's unsafe. But what it does mean is not striking back yourself and praying for them and asking God to work powerfully in their lives, to convict them of their sin, and to change them. And you know, when we see some of the terrible stuff that we see on the news, you know, instead of just wanting to see justice done for its own sake, you know, we want to be willing to see justice done, you know, to rehabilitate offenders as well. And we want to advocate and vote for policies that'll do that. And, you know, we want to work and build a world where we reduce the causes of crime and, you know, the social dysfunction in our community. You know, and then for some of our brother and sister Christians around the world who've had to face real evil and persecution, and, you know, maybe who are Christian refugees, instead of hating their former oppressors, you know, they can bless them. They can forgive them. They can pray for their conversion to Christ. They can even, you know, sponsor with their time and their money, you know, aid and mission work, you know, in their former homelands. This way of repaying evil with blessing, it's not the way the world works. And it seems foolish in the world's eyes, but it is the way that God works, and it's the way God wants his people to live. So that's the first reason. The second reason is that a life repaying evil with blessing is both a blessing to us and it's a witness to the world. Now, this also seems a bit counterintuitive or even backwards. But repaying evil with blessing is powerful and it has a positive impact on us and it has a positive impact on the world around us. I'll read verse 9 again. Peter says, "Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because this you were called, to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing." So what kind of blessing will we inherit? Well, firstly, repaying evil with blessing in and of itself provides some practical protection against persecution and evil from others. Like Peter says in verse 13, "Who's going to harm you if you're eager to do good?" If you as an individual and we as a community are known as a source of blessing in the world and a beacon of what is good and right, people will see that. And, you know, some of them will notice and some of them at least will respect it. And that's a bit of a shield against some of the evil that comes our way from the world. Now, of course, the world is a sinful and broken place, and protection from evil, even by, you know, having a good name of being a righteous person, you know, that protection is very, very far from being total. But nevertheless, Peter continues in verse 14. He says, "Even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed." How are we blessed? Verse 15. "Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened, but in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord." A life repaying evil with blessing is a life that drives out fear. If you set your hearts on the living hope of Jesus Christ, it's actually very liberating, because having that eternal hope means that you don't have to worry about what the world worries about, and you don't have to fear what the world might think of you or might do to you, because in the end, you know that Jesus Christ will bring you home to him. And trusting Jesus and living like Jesus lived, repaying evil with blessing, it's like Peter's saying, it's the antidote to fear. Because repaying evil with blessing, it requires faith, and doing it builds our faith in Jesus, and it gives practical expression to our faith in Jesus, and as our faith grows, fear diminishes. So repaying evil with blessing becomes a blessing to us, but it's also a witness to the wider world. Peter says from the second half of verse 15, Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against you and your good behaviour in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. When the world sees you repaying evil with blessing and living in hope rather than fear, some will notice and some will ask why. And this is an opportunity to both show them with your actions and tell them with your words about the good news of Jesus Christ, so that some might turn to him and live. Others might not. But when they misunderstand us or slander us or think we're weird for being Christian, they'll see the way that we live, and that will be a witness to the truth of Jesus Christ. And what this means is that as we live like this, life is better for everybody. Life is better for everybody when you respond to evil with blessing. It demonstrates to the world how to stop, you know, the cycle of violence and the cycle of evil. And when we do it, and when people see us doing it, it's like the world catches a little glimpse of how it was supposed to be and how much life would be better if everybody lived like Jesus lived. And so repaying evil with blessing is both a blessing for yourself and it's a witness to the wider world. Thirdly, the third reason. A life repaying evil with blessing will result in vindication and glory for the church. As Peter says in verse 17, rather than repaying evil for evil, it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. And perhaps the main reason why that is so is because what happens here to us in this world is not the end. There is another chapter. If you suffer evil, or if others treat you evilly, that is not the final word. For those who are in Christ, there's a higher court of appeal, and that court is God himself. And this is what Peter's talking about in the last section of chapter 3. Now, Peter's line of argument here is complicated, and it's probably the most difficult section of 1 Peter to get your head around. And theologians love this stuff, and there's some very deep and fascinating things here that Peter mentions about the work of God in Jesus Christ. But the big point he's making is very clear, and that is that Jesus Christ himself was persecuted for doing what was right, and that Jesus Christ himself suffered for repaying evil with blessing, and that Jesus Christ himself was even murdered on the cross for his trouble. But in the end, God vindicated and glorified Jesus for his righteous suffering, and God will do the same for all of his people. In verse 18, Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. So it's like Jesus was judged by the world and, you know, judged as foolish and put to death. But God has overturned this judgment, and he saved Jesus from it, and he's even raised Jesus to life, you know, proving that in God's judgment, Jesus was righteous and his enemies were wrong. And just like Noah with Noah's Ark, God saved Noah from the flood waters that were poured out on the evil world in judgment, and brought Noah through the waters and saved him. And in the same way, God also saves us from the world's evil and its judgment and the coming judgment upon the world by the resurrection of Christ, you know, as signified by the waters of our own baptisms. And like with Jesus Christ, God will save us, he will vindicate us, and he will overturn the evil and the evil judgments of the world against us. And on that last day, when God comes in Jesus Christ in his glory, every time that you have suffered for doing good, every time that you've repaid evil with blessing, every time that you've suffered for being a Christian, it will be shown to every eye, every person who's ever existed, before them all, it will be shown that in God's judgment, which is eternal, that you were in the right. And then he will reward you for it. And then, like he did with Jesus Christ, God will raise his people up and he will glorify us. Like verse 22 says of Jesus Christ, he's gone into heaven and he's at God's right hand with angels and authorities and powers all in submission to him. And just as God caused the righteous suffering of Jesus to lead to his vindication and glory, so will God cause the righteous suffering of Christ's followers to our vindication and glory. What this means is that in reality, you're living your life for an audience of one, God. The world is an evil place. As Jesus said in our gospel reading, in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. So when you face evil, or insult, or suffering, you could strike back and get even, or you could give in to fear and withdraw from the world, or with confidence in Christ, who has overcome the world, you could repay that evil with blessing. Because ultimately, the only opinion about how you live that matters, and the only one who will judge how you live, and the only one who will judge how you respond to evil, is God. No one else will judge the world. No one else will judge the way we live. Only he will. Only his judgment will matter. And just like he did for Jesus, God will vindicate you and glorify you for every time you suffered for doing what was right, and in particular, every time that you suffered for his name. So when you face evil and suffering in your day-to-day life, respond by looking to your living hope in Jesus Christ. Entrust yourself to the just judge and stand firm by repaying evil with blessing. Amen.